This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
The tribunal will sit tonight with a bump firmly on the agenda, and who better to explain all the ins and outs of footy's judicial system than Tom Brown? My name's Rudy. I've got Tom here in the studio. And Tommy, before we get to that, we'll kick off with some injury updates.
I'll just start with some important injury news from around the traps, Rudy, this afternoon. Jeremy Howe, the Collingwood star defender, sickening collision on Friday night involving his arm. He was discharged, Howe, from hospital yesterday. Collingwood at pains to stress again to me today they won't know the full extent of how long he'll be out for at least 2 weeks. So I should stress that they won't know for a couple of weeks. But I have been told this morning, and I've separately verified it, and I'll allow Jeremy at the appropriate time to discuss this, but his arm, Rudy, was fractured in at least 4 places, and it involved also bones going in different directions and some bones quite out of position. So I have checked again with Collingwood this afternoon. That will be long term. Certainly not, I've seen some figures of 6 to 8 weeks bandied about. I would suggest at this stage, Rudy, that it would be longer than that. But my information today is that was broken in at least 4 spots, his arm. So good luck to Jeremy Howe in that regard. The issue, one of them, is that the bones get tightened up with the titanium and things like that. But a lot of the tendons and the flesh and the muscles, they become quite swollen and agitated from, you know, such a big injury. So anyway, he's working through that. And I'm sure, well, Collingwood will, of course, give him all the time he needs, the whole footy community behind Jeremy Howe. In terms of St Kilda's injury crisis, Mitch Cleary's given an update on this afternoon. It's hard to believe it could have got worse. They only had 7 players in the VFL over the weekend, missing 15 potential players on their AFL list. They still managed to, in their AFL team, I should say, they still managed to pull off a great win against Fremantle. But Webster will miss at least a week with a broken bone in his hand. And Bytel, that's Jack Bytel, will also miss after being hospitalised with a cut to his knee. So it's hard to believe St Kilda's injury situation could get worse, but it has today with Webster and Bytel to miss. It sounds like Bytel has an infection of some description. Mitch will have more details on that tonight. And just one for Bulldogs fans, Rory Lobb, they revealed yesterday, after just a week into this experiment with 4 tall forwards, has had ankle surgery. I've checked with very well-placed sources close to Lobb today. They expect that he'll only miss around 2 weeks. So hopefully that's right, 2 weeks for Rory Lobb.
This is Tom Brown's news, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Here at First on Listener.
You know, there's a podcast already, Don't Shoot the Messenger. It's Caroline Wilson's. Don't shoot the messenger when it comes to this tribunal stuff. I've been copying grief all night on social media trying to explain the AFL's tribunal policy.
Well, I mean, you did call it pretty much bang on yesterday, Tommy, on this very podcast when you said that you thought it might go straight to the tribunal, and you pretty much picked the exact reasons why.
Correct. Now, I'll go to those shortly, but I'll start with Simon Goodwin, who has spoken today in regards to the bump. I see this now, Rudy, as a debate in regards to the role of the bump in the game, and this is what Simon Goodwin had to say at his press conference today.
There's no element in the game where we should be bumping. And that's the message I've given to our playing group, that it just puts you in a situation that you don't want to be in. So we certainly won't be encouraging our players to bump. We want them to tackle. We want them to play tough, contested footy. But that's one element of the game we've got to get right. You know, our game is about tackling. There's no need to bump. And I think it is dead, yeah.
So that's Simon Goodwin saying, in his view, the bump is dead. I'll get to why it probably is in a practical sense in a moment, and the AFL's view on this, or at least the match review panel's view on this. But I'll start with trying to differentiate and explain the AFL's position on why Pickett and McAdam are different. In the case of Pickett, they assessed that Smith was not injured in the incident and didn't suffer any ill effects, and he immediately returned to play. Didn't do the SCAD assessment. He immediately returned to play, no ill effects. So that was deemed as low impact on Smith. They then upgraded that 2 categories, so it ended up being high impact, so Pickett got 2 weeks. In the case of McAdam, they deemed that Were of GWS in the aftermath became somewhat distressed and had to be assisted, was removed for play for 15 minutes and subjected to a SCAT, and was ultimately cleared to play. So they assessed that as medium impact, doctored up 2 categories to severe impact, so McAdam's 3-plus weeks and was referred directly to the tribunal. That's the AFL's rationale for that. Some of the Adelaide fans overnight, or Adelaide people on Twitter, have said to me, oh, how can you say that McAdam, you know, what, just because McAdam did a SCAT test and Smith didn't, that's the difference here. That be that as it may, you can think about that however you like. The view of the AFL was that Smith didn't have any ill effects, wasn't injured in the incident and returned to play. The view is that Ware from the Giants in the aftermath became distressed, had to be assisted, removed from play for 15 minutes and was subjected to that assessment, concussion assessment, so they deemed that medium impact. That's the difference, Rudy, in the two classifications, just to explain from an AFL perspective. That's how they see it. So, Rudy, more broadly, you've got an issue now as to the role of the bump in the game, and the issue is, as far as I see it, is that there's obviously a lot of public backlash in relation to these types of bumps, but the AFL and Michael Christian still see the bump as having a role in the game, providing it's legally executed. The issue now under the rules is they've cooked up this idea that it can be increased, the impact, two categories based on the potential to cause injury. So if you have any type of impact with the head, so there was some type of impact with Smith's head, albeit at a low level, that's Bailey Smith's in the Pickett case. If you have any type of impact with the head, they can bump that up two categories on account of the potential to cause injury, and you can find yourself rubbed out for 2 or 3 weeks. So the AFL haven't banned the bump at the moment. You are allowed to bump. If the bump was to Smith's body only and there was no impact with the head, it's arguable that Smith's bump is allowed under the current rules. Now, you can have a debate about that all you like as to whether that, how that, you know, interacts with the concussion litigation and those types of things. But that's the view of the match review at the moment. And there's a lot of discussion about, oh, but Pickett's two legs are off the ground. There's nothing in the rules that says that Pickett's two legs can't be off the ground when you go to bump. That's the current rule. Now, you can debate whether that should be the rule in the game, how that should look going forward and all the rest of it. But the issue now, clearly, is that if you do elect to bump and you cause any type of contact with the head or even reverberation with the head such that they get any type of head injury, then you can go up two categories in terms of the impact and get rubbed out for a long time. And that's what Goodwin's saying. He's saying you're taking your playing future, or at least your immediate one in terms of the MRO, into your own hands by electing to bump. So don't bump and you won't have a problem. That's that Goodwin's perspective. But just to emphasise, the AFL's current view under the current rules, in particular Michael Christian's, is that the bump is not per se illegal if it's executed legally. And that's got to be the discussion going forward, I guess, from a public policy perspective and rules perspective going forward, because perhaps that's now at odds with a more wide opinion of supporters in the AFL in light of this concussion issue.
Every Wednesday, it's Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
It feels like I'm coming out to fight.
Joey Montagna, Daisy Thomas and Damien Barrett break down anything and everything AFL. The Midweek Rub. Get it every Wednesday by following Triple M Footy on the Listener app.
Tommy, a big weekend for North fans, and today it got even better with a rising star signing a new contract.
Yeah, Harry Cheezel has signed a new contract for the Kangaroos. He's played one game with the grand total of 34 touches in that one game, Rudy. Arguably the best debut game, perhaps in the history of the game. I haven't checked all the records. What's your view on that?
Well, can I just read off his statistical line? So he's had 34 touches, and 22 of them were kicks, 9 marks, 631 metres gained, 8 rebound 50s, 4 inside 50s. That's a good halfback game for Tom Stewart, let alone a bloke playing his first game.
And he was playing out of his regular position.
I believe that his role will be as a midfielder in the future. Yeah.
So he's just been thrown at halfback and had 34 quiet touches, Nick Dacos style. Mm-hmm. We like that. Anyway, Harry, for his good measure, has signed a new contract, 2 years, which extends the existing 2-year deal plus 2 years. So it takes him through to the end of 2026 at the Kangaroos, which is fantastic news. They announced that a short time ago. So in terms of what that would be worth, usually star draft picks for their third and fourth year command about $400,000 to $450,000, Rudy, in their contracts. Now, Harry will earn a lot more than that in the future, but let's just for argument's sake say he's earned $1 million now over his first 4 years. Post-tax, that's say $650,000 or $700,000, including some endorsements, perhaps $750,000. So he'll earn the best part of $750,000. He'll be a future champion of the game, I imagine. So he'll earn a lot more than that, but it's good going in terms of what the young players can earn, Rudy.
On the subject of contracts, Tommy, what's happening with the collective bargaining agreement?
Yeah, the collective bargaining agreement is being negotiated in the background at the moment. I spoke to the Players Association yesterday. I think the prevailing view, and this is not from them, is they're trying to negotiate 32% of total revenue as opposed to 28% at the moment, but that would include the AFLW component. So they're hard to explain. I'm working on how those figures break down from a practical perspective in terms of the CBA. I think a lot of the managers are hoping the men's money will go up about 30% in the next 3 to 4 years. That's the sort of increase they're looking at. But this CBA negotiation is dragging on. Gil McLaughlin is working on it in the background with Paul Marsh. But a lot of the player agents I've spoken to over the last few days are keen to know the actual figures, Rudy, because whilst you can include a clause in their contracts about how it will go up, they want to see some real figures before they lock in a lot of these new contracts now. So that's certainly a discussion point in the background. A key part of the collective bargaining agreement might be this injury and hardship fund, which I know the AFL has been working on for the best part of a couple of years with Peter Gordon. It's my understanding they're trying to integrate that into the collective bargaining agreement, but they're working on things like how do you structure it, how do you get players access to it, who administers it, and how you apply the tax and those types of things. That's taking some time as well. So anyway, that all that work's going on in the background, but the player agents are increasingly keen to know, Rudy, what the actual figure would be, and there's no sign that the collective bargaining agreement will be concluded any time too soon. Just some other brief contract news that's come across my desk today. Darcy Parrish, I think Brad Scott's been on record about this. He's probably the most high-profile free agent available at the moment. Essendon has been pretty clear in that regard, saying that Parrish has earned the right through his free agency to do what he wants. They're not discussing contracts at the moment, and Brad Scott's like, Essendon has got to earn the right to re-sign Parrish. So there's no rush as far as that's concerned at the moment. I noticed that a couple of the Bombers that played over the weekend have also, I wouldn't say put off talks, but just delaying talks while they cement their form and their spot in the team, in particular Harrison Jones, and who was subbed off but kicked a couple of goals, and Zerk Thatcher. They've both just put off talks for the moment as they try and build their spot in the side and their form throughout the course of the year. So it's just a couple of contract nuggets as far as the Bombers are concerned, Rudy.
All right, Tommy, thanks heaps for that. We'll be back later in the week to run through more in what looks like it's going to be a huge week of football.
Cheers, Rudy.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more, and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.